Podcast. I'm Allison Little, a best-selling author, keynote speaker, and award-winning entrepreneur who has built businesses and brands for the past decade. I'm passionate about helping high achievers launch to the next level.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Launch Podcast with Allison Little. Today's episode is called Olympic Champion Mindset with Robert Esme. Robert is a 4x100 relay Olympic gold medalist, founder of Air Blastoff Sports, and co-founder of Critique.com. And he's from Canada. I am so excited to talk to him really about this idea of having an Olympic champion mindset. And I know his story is going to inspire you. It's going to help you have the tools that you need in order to go to that next level and launch in your life. And he's just an overall awesome, wonderful person. So I'm so excited to have him on the Launch Podcast today. Welcome to the Launch Podcast, Robert.
Thank you, Allison. It's a pleasure to be here. I've been watching your body of work, your author, your mentors, your inspiration. And literally, I'm a grown man and I was having a bit of tears. I was like, oh, it touched my soul and it touched my heart to see when people pass on that legacy and inspiring from other people. Because I think in the world, it's all about education and passing on that knowledge.
Oh, I love it. And that's exactly what you're all about, right? So you have such an amazing, amazing story. And I know we'll get into that, but just tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Well, I grew up in Jamaica. Back in the days, I always say I love Jamaica because as a young child, if it's raining, we're in our underwear or boxers running around playing. We don't have to worry about the cold. So I left Jamaica and came to Canada in 84. My dad was working in the mine. My mom's a nurse. And when I got here, it was freezing. I was like, why am I here? I think it was August, still de-thawing in my long johns and shorts and gym class and get laughed at. But eventually, I realized the city was warm inside. They're very embracing and took me in as one of their own. And I started creating the vision of being an Olympic champion within Sudbury. We're built on a rock in a sense. When you think of the penny and the copper, this is Sudbury. This is where it all comes from, the mining area. So when you think of your penny and your copper, that's my city.
Nice. That's amazing. And so awesome. So, that was actually one of my questions is when did you get that vision that you wanted to be in the Olympics and you wanted to be a gold medalist?
I was fascinated with speed. I remember even in Jamaica, we jump on the back of the truck and we can get a ride to wherever we're going, but they didn't know you're on the back of it. So one thing will happen is if you stop running, when you jump off, boom, you're going to smack on your face. So you have to keep up the foot speed, right? So those are the natural attributes that I found. And when grandma used to give me money from her bosom to go to the store and my other cousins and stuff, the quickest one to the store and back gets extra money. And you know I'm not going to lose that one either. So it was always competition, keeping your eyes on the meat because that's the first thing that goes off your plate when at dinner time. So if you move, boom, that plate is gone with your meat. And I love my meat. So those are the things of the good behavior that practiced my speed. But the fire, I think, lit back in 1988 when I was watching Carl Lewis versus Ben Johnson. I saw the muscles glitter on TV. I saw the energy. I saw the crowd. I saw everyone excited. And I was like, wow, I too want to win an Olympic gold medal. And then trying to convince my mother to do that was a challenge in the beginning because she was about education. She wanted me to become a doctor. And I didn't end up becoming a doctor because I don't like the needle. So I became a speed doctor.
I know, you're the speed doctor. I love that. So how old were you at that time?
At that time, I think I was like 14 when I had the vision and the passion and the fire.
And, I know, as I was researching you and kind of looking at your story, one of the things that I found interesting is you signed with Nike at 10 years old.
Yeah, 10th grade. One of the youngest to sign with Nike. I remember when I went down, they gave me, I think it was like $25,000 worth of equipment and stuff. So it was like Christmas in my house. Products coming, I'm testing products, I'm using it. And the second time we went in to redo my deal, I said, sir, you're missing something from your desk or your wall. He's like, what are you talking about? Right there, I had Tiger Woods on one side, Michael Jordan on the other side. And he says, what am I missing? And I said, I got it. So at the time, I designed a poster. And it was 0 to 100 in 9.6, which is about 9.84, all right? And it was tied in with Atlanta 96. The 100 meter that won in 1996 was 9.84, which was 9.6. So
that gives me chills, Robert.
So I had the poster and I had it signed in gold, right? And Nike wasn't on the poster. So I had my agent at the time put a $500 frame together, put it all to nice, and I had a UPS to his office. He wrote, handwritten to me a letter, says, "You're a very insightful young man, and yes, your poster is right between Tiger Woods and Michael Jordan.
Boom.
Feel free to come by anytime. No appointments. We can have lunch anytime." That's the time I saw my actual big deal with Nike back then before the Olympics.
Oh, my gosh. How cool, right?
Yes.
So you're 14. You watch the Olympics. You get excited about this idea that you have this vision that you are going to be there. And then let's talk a little bit more about the actual, you know, the actual reality of you're going to the Olympics. How did that all go for you?
It wasn't smooth. I wasn't going to lie to you. In life, the path is not always smooth. I always say the bitter the berry, the sweeter the results. So, but I had a bad accident somewhat. To me, it wasn't bad, but internally, it was bad. I think things moved around, and I went to the Olympic trials after running the standard. And in the finals, I couldn't breathe and I couldn't move. And, you know, I asked the starter, I said, "Can I please start standing up?" And he's like, "No, the rule says everybody must be down on the ground to be in a start position." But I said, "I can't move from that position." He says, "We love you, but the rules are the rules." So at the time, I dig deep into my faith and I look up into the sky and I said, "Jesus, I need to work together. I know sometimes I have a big mouth and stuff, but, you know, if you can help me get through this, you know, I'll less talk and give more actions and be more down that path. So whatever you can do, we need to make this team." So at the time, I guess he agreed on the deal. And I remember the starter says, "Set." And I came up very slow. The gun fired and they were gone. I was 40 meters down, right? 60 meters left to go. And I was like, I'm running out of real estate. All of a sudden, my body started lifting and transforming. And my legs start moving like Jesus lizard on top of the track. And I crossed the finish line in fifth position. And our system was top six, you make the relay squad, but I didn't make the individual squad, which was the top three for the 100 meter. So that vision of running that 9.6 was not there. And then I sit back and I realize I had a vision to win a gold medal, but it didn't tell me what event. So I'm still in the game because I'm running the relay. Mm-hmm. As I got there, part of the process was you had to rerun again and be re-ranked. And I only had one chance. So I showed up at this meet and I remember it was pouring rain. Two things I never like to do is run on my birthday and run in the rain because I always get hurt. That day again, I looked up in the sky. I said, "Jesus, it's pouring rain. Please don't cancel the meet because we only have one chance to race." Mm-hmm. And at the time I met this gentleman that I worked with after Mike Murray. And he says, "Son, have you ever run on water before?" I'm like, "No." He says, "This is the time, son. This time you got to run on top of water." And then I tap into my mental piece where in Jamaica, we're running around in the rain and stuff. So I'm like, "Let's have some fun. Let's play in it." And I remember there was 50 athletes registered during the Olympics. I was running that meet, except for the top five guys. So I won it. And I remember crossing the finish line and the coach hold me up like a trophy. And he said, "You did it. You run in the water like Jesus lizard." Right? I was like, "What?" And then after that, I was ranked number two in the country. So as the things wind down, going into the relay, I was number three ranked in the country. And I just had to wait my turn because it was so much politics. And I left it up to God because I always say, who God bless, no man curse. And with that being said, my opportunity presents itself. I got the swag right. I thanked him and I was ready to blast off, baby.
Oh, so inspiring and so empowering. And I love that you did it and you believed in yourself and you believed in the power of God to bring you over the finish line. That's amazing. So, okay. So you're going to go and you're going to be in the Olympics and you're racing and you're running. And so tell us a little bit more about that. Cause you're one of four, but were you the fifth one?
They try to make me the fifth one. I earned a spot to be the third one.
I know.
So with that being said, another crazy thing. The U.S. have never lost the Olympics in 100 years. We're coming in from the world championship with a swagger. right? So, and this is on the American soil. My mom's flying in, and my mom's Jamaican. You know, she's got the muscles, the martial arts background, and she's coming in hot. So anything wrong with her baby, they'll lock down the whole place. That type of mama that I have, the supporter. So we got there, and I hear, "Rah, rah!" And I'm like, oh, my God, how did my mom get in here? Right? And she's coming down, and I know she was smoking at the time, with heavy breath. Give me a kiss. And I was like, and I want you to go out there, and I want you to kick some butt. And right beside me was the American team. I'm like, oh, God, here we go. Now she's going to fuel them up. You know, I'm like, get her out of here. Get her out of here. And at the time, you know, things were falling apart for the relay. So when I decided, the team voted the majority that I'm going to run the finals because we won the world championship. How are you not going to have me in the finals? I look at it as like with the four members, it's like a four-course meal. I'm the appetizer. If the appetizer is so good, you don't even want the dinner. Right? That's how good it is. But anyway, each one of us has to play our part effectively and maximize what we can do to make the course, the whole meal, success. Right? It's a layer on top of a layer on top of a layer. When you have the world record holder finishing the race, that's insurance policy. And we want to make sure if we don't have to go there, we don't go there. We've got to make sure the flavor, everything is right. Because you've got Caribbean and we love the flavor. So anyway, I got in there and I remember I did a haircut and everything and I told the photographer because in the Olympics, usually five stories. And I'm like, why can't the fifth story be about me? Right? This is the marketing side of me as a younger child. And I created this blast off thing. I told one of the photographer, he came, took a picture and I envisioned all the cameras coming to me. And all of a sudden, all the cameras approached me. I'm on the jumbo screen. People in the stadium like, what's on his head? What's wrong with this kid? And I saw the zoom in and focus. And everybody started reading what's on my head like hooked on phonics. It was a beautiful moment. And I'm like, it's time to blast off. To be able to become blast off, we have to win. Blast is the start, off is the finish. And I remember getting into the blocks and I turn off my ears to the crowd like Seinfeld. And then boom, boom. I turn up my left antenna to the infield for the starter. And I remember he says, gentlemen, on your marks. And I did the whole thing that I watched in 88. The muscles were popping. Put a little baby oil on my stuff because I know the ladies at home will be watching. So I want to be like the transformer. And I got in and I hold it. And I make sure the muscles was flexed right. And the camera, I know, was going to be on me, right? So then they said, set. I come up like a coil. And I make sure I came up slow. Everybody's up waiting because the camera and the starter have to wait on me. Mm-hmm. And the last person that moves. So I came up, pop, pop. Lock it in there because I know the camera's there. Right? Boom! Reacted because most people hear the gunfire. I hear the gunfire before when the click, click in the chamber. So I react to that because I know I'm not the fastest man on the track. But if I listen to all the things properly, I will be the fastest one leaving with the intention. So anyway, I came blazing out the blocks and run the corner like a straightaway. Because yes, every corner, there's a straightaway if you plan it out and move it properly. And I saw my second runner, Glenroy, up ahead, and I make sure I gave him the baton in a FedEx-style manner. Safe. What a delivery. I put my hand up, and then the crowd kicked in like Kramer, and then he went down the backstretch like an avalanche. His muscles escalate and popping. And I could, in my vision, for some reason, it's like I'm in the desert in Arizona. When you look and you feel the mist and everything, I saw him just flying by. I felt like the people were cooling off on a warm night in Georgia. Then you gave Bruni the baton. And Bruni's like an animal, but very gentle. Played the pianos, 6'3", French-speaking, got the wine, the connoisseur. But when they give him the baton, this man is amazing. And on the ankle leg, we had long-legged levers, like the flamingo, Donovan Beal, like a stretch limo. So when he went his leg out and pulled back, it was amazing grabbing the track. And I said, with a team formula like that, you can't go wrong. We did blast off. And I went and got Carlton from the stadium because I wanted him to celebrate with us. Because if the baton dropped, we all would be losing and crying. So when we celebrated that victory, I wanted to make sure he was part of that circlet of champion and lap around the track because he helped us get there. So mm-hmm. That's the Olympic love.
Oh my gosh. Oh, and I love how you illustrated it in such a beautiful way. Like I was there with you. I love that. I'm cheering for you. I'm excited. And I'm sure all of our listeners are thinking the same thing. So, you know, you had a certain mindset, right? First, you're 14, you see the vision, right? Of, hey, I want to go there. And then you go through and you win the gold medal. And in that space from 14 until you win the gold medal, I'm sure your mindset was a really big piece of this puzzle. So let's talk a little bit about that. And I know now you actually have two companies. You have Air Blast Off Sports and Critique.com. And so you actually help people with helping with that mindset and that mental resilience in order to become the champion in their own life. So let's talk a little bit more about that. What are the things that you did in order to get there?
Absolute self-belief. I think I had a lot more than others. So believing in myself and trying to make sure the dream killers is not infiltrating my mental peace, I knew exactly what I want. So with that being said, I had to plan, how am I going to get it? So one thing we know for sure, the vision was to get a gold medal. The next question I wanted to ask myself is, how do I get there? How does a person put themselves in a position to attain this? Then I realized I needed a coach. So at the time, I find the best coach in the city. And I talk to him and he says, you talk too much. Yes, I'm going to charge you $20,000 a year. I'm in high school here. Where can I find $20,000 a year? But that's his price. So I said, okay. I went back to the drawing board and I said, Mom, I need some money to borrow. And she said, why? And I said, I need to make a poster. Because if I can fundraise with this, I can help raise enough money to pay for this coach. I found my school photographer. Then I found a graphic person. And I said, I need your help. It's important that we ask for help. Right? He says, Robert, you don't have enough money, but tell you what. I will charge you half price. The photographer is a student. I said, I will put your name on the poster to give you extra exposure. And we finished the poster within 6 weeks. I went to individuals for $5 to sell the poster, but it wasn't moving fast enough. So I went by investors, a financial company, and I met a gentleman, Robert O'Keefe, and Mr. Gary West. And I said, listen, this is my dream. This is my vision. And I was a little kid, 4'11", a little skinny, talk a lot. Because the people just watched the Olympics, Carl Lewis, Ben Johnson, so two massive figures, right? And I said, I wanted to make it to the 1996 Olympic. I was very specific, right? I said, less than 6 years. And people like, you're not going to make that happen. But the gentleman, they believed in me. So he says, Robert, how much post do you have? I said, 1,000. I went to my car, came back, boom, gave him 1,000. He said, leave this with me. Let's see what we can do. In a matter of a month, he called me and says, could you come by the office, please? So I went down. He says, I got some good news. What do you want to hear? I said, sure, let me hear the good news. He says, we sold all the posters. I said, great. And then he says to me, are you sure you can win an Olympic gold medal? I said, yes, sir. He goes, tell you what. I talked to corporate office. They do not sponsor athletes. Only one athlete that sponsored, and that was it. We only do organization. Can we trust you to keep your name clean and out of trouble? I said, yes, sir. He goes, okay, we will give you $25,000 a year for the next 4 years. I said, can we get my education paid? He says, yes, we'll make sure we pay your education as well, just in case I don't go to university. Right? So that was my first contract and deal that I did. Then after that, we went with the Nike and all the other stuff. But at the end of the day, we went back to the coach and I said, here's your $20,000. I need a receipt. I need to give it to my lawyer because now I hired a lawyer. Right? Yeah. To make sure everything's in place, trust in place, to make sure I'm not screwed. Yeah. So with all that, we hired a coach and I said, let's put the work in. I went in and I work and I monitor myself after 3 months and I won a bronze medal in Ontario.
Ooh.
9 million people. So I figured I'm the third fastest man in 9 million people. That's pretty good. So I went back to the drawing board and I said, okay, do we have a chance now to win an Olympic gold medal? He says, yes, but we're going to have to put some work in. So I'm 4 years out now. I remember year one, I flew in and I raced Carl Lewis, Chidi Omomo. In the race, all Olympians except a high school kid. I remember I got dead last and they won by 60 meters.
Mm-hmm.
I went back to the drawing board and I said, hey, lost by 60 meters. But the good news is I was able to get some experience against global athletes. Mm-hmm. I went back to the drawing table and 2 years in, 1 year into the Olympics, 2 years into the Olympics, I raced Carl Lewis again. This time, I lost by 10 meters. And I went from about 1080 to 1026. So I'm like, ah, improvement. So I start monitoring those stuff and the self-belief and the things that kept going and monitoring and measuring myself against my competitors along the way. So with that success in place, I'm like, now I'm able to help others. So I said, after I retire, I said, how can I help others and give back in a way? And then we did the blast off business. And I said, no, we need to call it Air Blast Off because I'm fascinated with Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods. And I said, it's got to be urgency where if you can't breathe, you're dead. Mm-hmm. And most memorable moments in sports happens in air. So you need to be airborne, and to be fast, the quickest way is to fly there. Right. So that's why we call it Air Blast Off. Knock off the Air Jordan. And the ability to help people around the world. So we left there, and then I realized, how can I affect and help people on a global base? And I've been in the medical business for quite some time. People keep asking me, how can I help my knee? What can I do for this? And I'm like, when I met a couple of my co-founders and developing the stage, I said, I'm in. It's a no-brainer. So when it comes to critique, I said, I wanted to make sure the platform we can help all industry and be an accelerated tool to use people's experts' knowledge within a short time frame to be able to help others. And that's when we came up with Critique, and we're launching a marketplace next week.
Oh my gosh. I just am so excited about that. And it's just an amazing tool to essentially like hire a coach, right? You're essentially hiring a coach for different areas of your life in order to move forward. Such an awesome, awesome idea. And, you know, we could probably talk for an entire day, but I want to make sure I ask you this question, Robert. What are the two things you would say you've done in your life to launch to the next level?
Continue to believe yourself, love yourself. And the most important, as I'm teaching my son now, the three P's. Be passionate of what you do. With that passion, right, it may allow you to make some income along the way. Make sure you have a plan. So passion, plan, and have a purpose. The why, the purpose, has to be great. Be able to solve a problem. And if you can solve that problem, you're laughing. And make sure you give that to the world. And last but not least, I tell them, I named you and you were born for one reason. And your reason is to help people around the world. You're God's child. Your name is Nehemiah for a reason from the Bible. And your middle name is Lion for a reason, because you're most strategically, you mean, that probably will be the fastest, but you'll be the most prestigious to be able to help and guide, and people will gravitate to you because of your passion and your love for others. And trust me, my mom's like, you named the kid the perfect name because he loves animals, he loves nature, and he loves to help people. And he's always looking at ways to help people. So that's my best creation is to be able to leave that legacy in case I leave the world, that he'll make some changes along the line when I'm not around.
Oh, I love that. What a great story. So how old is your son now?
He's 8 going on 18.
Right? Isn't that so funny? I have a 6-year-old and a almost 10-year-old. And so aren't they just so fun? They just, like, it's awesome to see them become their own little people and like have a personality and see their strengths and what they want to do with the world. And it's just a beautiful thing. It sounds like your son is an amazing human being. So
thank you.
Yeah.
Grandma will rough him up because mom always tell me, and I tell him, your name is not your name, especially last name. It's been given to you. You have an honor to continue that legacy and grow it. Your job is not to ruin it.
Yeah. Hey, right. I know. That's good. Yeah. I love that. Awesome. So, you know, I know that you've overcome a lot of different challenges in your life and you continue to persevere. So what would you give advice to our listeners who are at maybe a place in their life where they're not feeling maybe like a champion, like they maybe don't feel like they can go on or go toward that goal? What advice or ideas would you give to that person?
Absolutely. That's normal. We're all going to have that. I had that. I'm still going to have it going forward. But it's important that we ask for help. Mm. It's very important. It's very important that you look in the mirror and says, you know what? I don't love me today, or I'm not feeling me today, but guess what? I'm going to care about me and get through the day so I can love me more tomorrow. Because you're a wonderful person. It starts with you. It starts with you talking to yourself, spending time and helping yourself through those moments. And that's why we also create the platform of Critique. Is if you're in a situation or you need guidance or encouragement, reach out to an expert who's been there, who's built things where you would have an opportunity to get a feedback or encouragement to say, you know what, you're doing great here. You can opportunities to grow here. Or you know what, you're doing fantastic. Keep it up. We love it. And if anywhere can be part of that journey further on, I'm here for you. And that's why I want people to realize there's help out there. Please ask for it. If you ask, it will come.
Oh my gosh, such a beautiful, beautiful story. Yes, that's so true. And that's the thing, is a lot of times we think that we can't access, you know, the experts out there in the world or the athletes or the people that are out there doing what we want to do, but you can. And now you have actually a platform that's built to do that. So I'll make sure I put this in the show notes, but I want everybody to know about Critique and the work that you do there, because that's a game changer. You know, if you talk to any successful person on the planet, they'll say, go find somebody who has done what you want to do and ask some questions. And, yeah. And that's exactly what this platform is going to be in the world. It's going to change a lot of things.
Absolutely. It's you know what I also love? It gives you like 3-4 different things. One, as experts, they may be realizing, hey, I can make a business out of this, right? Extra income, or it could be giving back to charity. You know what? I'm going to give 10 minutes each month back to charity, but I'm going to put a price to it by helping other people at the same time. Mm-hmm. As a user, it gives us the opportunity to touch people from around the world in the comfort of your home, right? And pick their brains for 1 or 2 minutes from any genre, from music, arts, designers, fashion, television. A lot of people right now want to build their own podcast. They don't mm-hmm. know where to start or where to go or what it should look like. They can reach out to one of the experts on that platform and get some guidance. And they may come for the podcast and realize, I have a dog that just keep barking and all kinds of problems. Oh, I need to solve a problem. How can I get a dog trainer? Boom, pop up on the site. Right. Now you upload your content of you walking with your dog behaving badly. The expert going and said, do this. And boom, your problem is solved.
That's amazing. Right?
All from the comfort of your living room.
Yes, it's so good. And it's so accessible to anybody really that has that technology to access it. It's so, so good. I'm so excited about that. You know, I am just so grateful for your time, your energy, and how you're serving the world in such a big way. It makes me so happy to have met you and have had you on Launch. How do people get a hold of you, Robert?
Absolutely. Go to critique.com, see there, or my own website, robertesme.com, from motivational speaking to sports training to consultation, whatever. I remember one announcer, Ron McLean, he says, Robert is the type of guy, no matter what you give him, this boy can sell it, baby. The boy can solve problems. So there you go. If you have any kind of problem you need to solve, call me. Last year's problem is not this year's problem. Last year's feedback is not this year's type of feedback, folks. That's my boy Fat Joe going to tell you.
Oh my gosh, I love it. Thank you so much, Robert. And thank you for, I think you're officially our funniest guest that we've ever had on Launch. You just have such an energy. I love that. It makes me happy. I'm sure it's going to make our listeners smile. To all of our listeners, share the episode, my dear friends. I mean,
that's
how
right.
We get to listen to somebody like Robert who has found a vision in his life, taken action, right? Taken imperfect action and achieved his goal, and now has made it his mission to serve others in such a big way. So thank you and have an awesome day.
Thank you for you and your all your audience. Remember, dreams happen any day, anytime. Go get yours. All right. Yes. Don't wait. Go get it.
Love it.
Thank you for listening to the Launch Podcast. I'm Allison Little, and I'm so excited that you spent your time with me. Look for future episodes and connect with me on social media or at my website at www.allisonlittle.com.